I've had fantastic preparation for this. My foot's swollen. Rosie's got no idea what's wrong with it. Okay, go and see a doctor. That's not reassuring when you see the physio. My mum's skybox wouldn't work this morning. It froze. If you don't know my mum's got Alzheimer's, and the TV not working is a major, major, major thing. And all sorts of things go wrong. And the reason I'm whinging, you will see later. I wouldn't normally start speaking by whinging, but you'll understand why I'm whinging later on. Okay. Ian's got found it. He's going to start by reading.
Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
Thanks, Ian. I don't know about you, but the first bit of that psalm and the last bit, because they're in songs, are the bits I really notice. I don't know if you recognise this. I'm not going to sing them for you, so you're all right. But they're sort of the words are used in choruses, and we tend to concentrate on those. But the bit I want to focus on is verses 5 to 7. Now, as well as the other woes, my laptop is not talking to the Wi-Fi system, etc. Hence, we've got no visuals. Okay, so the only visual you get is the bit of paper that I put on your chair. There's some on the front row if you've not got one, and it's just the copy of the verses 5 to 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Now, there's like literal translations of the Bible where you go through each verse and it says it definitely means this, and if you go through all the different sort of commentaries, it means this. I'm looking at it today as a metaphor, so it's like a picture of something rather than this is actually definitely what this means in the Bible, etc. Because when I read it, I got an instant picture, which I'll share with you later, and I started to think about it. So what I'm saying is about using it as a sort of picture for something that I think the Lord's talking to us about. It says, hearts set on pilgrimage. Now, in the passage, the pilgrimage is towards heaven, to appear before God in Zion. That's actually sort of moving towards heaven. And we're all on that journey. You know, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God, we're on that journey somewhere along that. Some of us are closer than others, okay, but we're all on that journey towards heaven. And for lots of us, on our journey towards heaven, we have goals, either goals that we've set or goals that we feel that God has given us. So it depends where you're up to. So your goal might be in passing an exam, whether it's a driving test or whatever. It might be what sort of college to go to or what sort of job to have. All right, they're all goals. It might be a goal to get married or not get married. Well, actually, I don't consider it wasn't a goal not to get married. That's just something that's happened along the way. It didn't happen along the way. As with children, I know some people have got children, some people want children, some people don't want children. And there's sort of stages along our journey that we've either had to deal with or we've gone through. It may be promotion, it might be about having a nice house, okay, or a house or a flat or something like that. They're all sort of what I call earthly goals, you know, they're part of life. You do this, you do that, you get this, you get that, you go on, etc., those sorts of things. And then I think there's spiritual goals, whether it is who you're going to invite for Alpha, or whether there should be an Alpha, who you're going to invite to Cabaret, or whether you're going to take up Andy's offer and have Cabaret in your own house on that date or something. It's whether you've got friends and relatives that you want to see saved. It's whether you want to see healings. It's whether you feel that God's given you a vision to set the world on fire in a big way or a small way or in a particular destination. All of those things are goals along our journey towards heaven. And people have different way markers along their journey. For some people, looking at their journey, it looks like an uphill struggle. For some of us, it's like, I almost entitled this talk, "Is it all downhill from here?" Okay, because I've just retired, okay, and there's a bit where you could go, right, I'm retired, I'm just going to go and do nice things. And then something comes across your horizon and your ability to do just nice things disappears because suddenly you become a carer at my age and those sorts of things. So for some of us, we can view it like a downward slope, and for others, it can look like an upward slope. But life is about having goals. Sometimes the goals are explicit. I'm not one of those people, I don't know if anybody here, who wrote a life plan. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this by this time, etc. Life plans happen a lot when you're like at school and in the sixth form and stuff like that. You know, you need to plan out your future. You know, you need to go from this to this to this to this, etc. But sometimes it's not explicit. It's not that you've actually written things down. There's just things that you think you're going to have to do. And sometimes your plan is no greater than, Lord, help me get to the end of next week and through that interview, checkup, that phone call, that visit or whatever. So sometimes we don't think of those as plans on our journey of life, but they are, yeah? Because every day we are moving closer and closer to the end goal. Now, I've never been on what a pilgrimage, as in what sort of the accepted general things of pilgrimages in terms of Christian life, you know, was it the road to Compostela and stuff like that, and is it the mountain of Knock in Ireland where people go up on it? I don't know. Anyway, I've never been on that sort of pilgrimage, but I have been on journeys. Right? I went, those of you, that, not a huge number of you, know Doris and Raph, but I went up to Edinburgh last week, and it takes a certain amount of planning. Okay, you have to book your tickets, you've got to think of car, you've got to pack the thing, you've got to go through, you've got to make sure you've got your boarding pass on your phone, you've got to go through the hassle of knowing whether it's one you've got to show or whether you've got to put it on a reader. Oh, nightmare. And then Doris was taking Esther back to the station, so couldn't pick me up. Confession. I have never, ever used public transport to transfer from an airport to where I'm going. Sorry, I just never have, right? Okay. And Doris went, "Oh, it's fine, you get the tram into the middle and you get the bus." Anyway, I got the tram into the middle, I found the bus stop, I got to Doris's house. Well, I actually got to the bus stop where she was waiting for me. But there's planning, there has to be planning. And sometimes you have to push through. I had to push through the fact that Doris had said, "You can get the tram into the middle and get on public transport and not book a transfer, right? A taxi to take me there," because I felt, I really want a taxi to go to things that I don't like, having to go to places. I don't like going to places I don't know. That's what it is. I don't like not very good place, unknown places and unknown situations. And I had to actually, sorry? Yeah. No, I get there. I know, I can read the map. I just don't like doing it. Because, I can tell you why, I can tell you the route, you can pray for me later. Years ago when I was at college, I got on a train in Sheffield, okay, convinced it was a train to London, and found it was the non-stop train to Poole. So I've always been a bit wary of whether I'm on the right train. It's numbers, Paul. It's not to do with geography. It's the numbers of the buses and whether they're going where I think they're going. Yeah. No, it didn't actually. There's also, so on our journeys in life, we need to push through. There's often situations that we have to push through. And we live in a very instant and convenient age. I was really struck while I was away because Doris was talking to her sister in Warri in Nigeria and Skyping Raf, because Raf went, didn't take it personally, he left the morning I arrived to go to Nairobi, but he was in Nairobi sort of thing. And I can remember the very first international call I ever had, and you'll find it very hard to believe, those of you that are younger, you had to book international calls with the operator, who would make the connection and phone you back and say, right, you're through to the person, whereas now you just dial it out. Now the art is finding how not to pay for the international call, not trying to make the connection to somewhere like Warri in southern Nigeria. So the Lord's all given us goals, which is what verse 5 is about. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, whose hearts are about following the journey that God has given us to the ultimate goal. It's all about feeling that we may have achieved some of the goals along the way. Yeah? There may be a situation where you feel that God gave you this to do and you've done it. But that doesn't mean you've arrived. Okay, that means you have to go back and find out what the next goal is that God's given you to do, and seeking God's for new ones. But it's very easy along our journey to get distracted sometimes and go off down dirt tracks. I'm about to draw on the board, so don't suck your teeth. Those who don't know, Jana's an artist. So journeys, I would love to be like this. This is now, this is the future, okay? And I would like it to be in a straight line, really, really would. I don't know about yours, but mine looks more like this. It looks like a sort of heart rate chart, yeah? And then sometimes it goes really down here somewhere, and then it takes me a long time to get back up to here and to get on track. That's just life, yeah? I think that's true of everybody. Okay, so my first question to you to discuss is, what are some of the things that can get you off track from achieving goals? What are some of those distractions that happen for you? So you could just discuss them, and then we'll take some feedback and put a list up and see if there's any commonality in where people get distracted from where they're going. Does that make sense? Yeah? So if you're visiting and you're not used to doing things like that in the middle of a meeting, that's just the way we roll. If you want to make a note on the back of your verse thing as well, there's some pencils here. I've tasked Marion, because if I start writing on there, you won't be able to read it. So what are some of the things that you feel distract you from your journey? What are the sort of things that distract?
Family and friends.
Right, anyone else?
Work.
I think illness, just a sudden illness or something.
The frame of mind? Whether you're feeling positive or negative?
Yeah, so your feelings, whether you're positive or negative, I think that actually plays a huge part in most people.
I think I've got this wrong now.
Why?
Because all those are part of the journey.
That is something I'm going to come on to, sort of thing. So, but they can take you so far away that it's actually, it is. I think God uses everything, and I'm going to talk about that later. But God uses everything, even if it is a distraction. So, what else? Come on, you're all chatting away. There must be other things.
Ambition.
Oh, ambition. Yeah.
You failed in the past, so why are you going to succeed later?
Yeah. If at first you don't succeed, give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes the goal itself can be a distraction. Sometimes you can have got so focused on that goal that you don't realise that the situation around you has changed, and therefore that goal is redundant.
Okay.
The goal you should be following.
So the goal focus could be redundant itself.
Fear.
Sorry?
Fear.
Fear. I'm only repeating it so it goes on the... Not because... Anything else?
Anxiety would go on with fear.
Yeah, fear and anxiety.
The internet.
Yeah, the internet. True.
That was your idea, Richard, wasn't it?
I'm having to discipline myself to only check emails and Facebook first thing in the morning and not constantly during the day. Anything else? Anybody else got anything?
Urgent rather than important.
Urgent rather than important. So it's priorities in a sense, sort of.
Well, you've got your important things to do for the goal, and then urgent things come along with it.
In the way, yeah. I don't know how you sum this up. And you know, please excuse the language. Ruth's not here, so she's not going to kill me. There's also that general "I can't be arsedness." Do you know what I mean? I just can't be asked to do whatever that is, that the effort that's required, sort of thing. Don't write that on there. I'm going to photograph it.
The phrase is, I can't be bothered.
Okay, you can't be bothered. Okay.
What's the phrase of that?
Apathy. Apathy, yeah, that's it, right. Okay. Sorry?
So you didn't cover it up at that.
Oh, that's true.
I was thinking just things like tiredness.
Yeah.
You know, because like you're talking about having sort of left work, and then there's this whole transition thing that happens.
So apathy and tiredness. But they're all things that can distract from our goal. Thanks, Marilyn. I'm not going to take any more.
Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure it looks really sad.
Okay. We've got tears. A little of tears coming down here. I got a text from yesterday from Bara, and it had capital T, full stop, capital T. And I said to the other teens, does that mean something? You know, like LOL, et cetera, like that. And after Paul wound me up for a little while, he went, it's closed eyes and tears coming down. I thought, God, didn't know that. Anyway, sort of thing. Anyway. Sorry, slide track. So, it says in verse 5, we will be blessed if we draw strength from the Lord. It says in verse 7, we will go from strength to strength. Our journey should not weary us, but we should grow as we advance. So, what's the real focus for today? The real focus for today is verse 6. It says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Now, the Valley of Baca stands for the Valley of Weeping. And it doesn't mean tears weeping. It's to do with balsam and the fact that it gets drops on it. I don't know, anyway. But as a metaphor, it works as a place of hardship. It's a place you have to go through that isn't necessarily the easiest to get to the place that you're going. They were going on... To stand before God in Zion, and they had to go through. We did a few years ago. We did the great. Is it the bear hunt? You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You can't go around it. You have to go through it. And that's the only choice you've got. You've got to go through. It's a dry place. It's a place of vexation. It's desolate. It's hard. It's a place with no relief and no refreshment. But you've still got to go through with it. All of us have valleys of Baca that we have to journey through. You know that at the moment, that looming large in my Valley of Baca is caring for my mum that's got Alzheimer's. Different things, different people. But it's something you can't... I can't go round it. I can't go over it. I actually have to go through this journey with my mum. And there's other people here. There's, you know, the Forsythes, and there's Roy that have dealt with that particular situation. There's other situations where we may have lost people that are close to us, or we may have lost our jobs, or where, I don't know, things have gone wrong. All of us have our own personal valley of Baca. I want to hold your hand up if you have had a perfect life where everything has gone to plan when you wanted and how you wanted. I was right. You've all got and all had valley of Bacas that you've had to go through. We all want things to go the way they are supposed to, which means how I want them to, which means according to my plan. Yeah? We all face those situations. The number of times I point out to God that now would be a really good time for him to do X, Y, or Z. Yeah? And sometimes he listens. And sometimes he doesn't. Yeah? It's just the way it goes. It says, unfortunately, there's a verse that covers this in the Bible, in Isaiah 55:8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Damn. Yeah? Damn. Because it really would be good if he just got in line behind my ideas and my plans, etc. We are going to suffer, and it is going to shape us, which is going back to what Roy was talking about, the fact that, you know, that's part of life's journey. We will go through our valley of Baca, and it will shape us. We will become bitter or better, closed or open, more ignorant or more aware. And sometimes that's about choices that we make. So that all sounds a bit grim, yeah? But there's the rest of the verse. They make it a place of springs. Concepts of springs and wells have been very important to Day Spring. Day Spring isn't about a spring, it's about dawn, daybreak coming up, sort of thing, just so. But having said that, there was a whole time when we were looking at singing to wells, and there was stuff in Numbers 21:18 where it talked about digging out the wells, all about important about how we saw the role of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit was doing in Wiltshire. So springs and wells have always been very, very important for us. And this says they make it a place of springs. Making places of springs, making places of refreshment, places to connect with the Holy Spirit, are what help us to get through the valley of Baca. It's what helps us to get through the hard times. But we have to make the effort. It wasn't there were springs. They make it a place of springs. So they had to actually find the springs. They had to actually put the well heads in, etc., to be able to get their sense of refreshment there. All of us have different ways in which we connect with Jesus. There are some that are very common, and there's some that may not be very common. Rosie and I particularly are with sort of nature. You have to be out there, yeah? Some people it's through music. Just take a few minutes and think about some of the things that help you connect with God, you to connect with Jesus, that sort of, you know what I mean when it's, it lifts you, it lifts your spirit, or it makes you feel better, or whatever. I'm not defining what it makes you feel, but I'm just saying it's sort of, what is it, how you connect that makes you that positive thing, all right? So just take a few minutes and discuss things that make you feel that you come away from something slightly more refreshed than when you started, whatever it is. Okay, I'm not, yeah, so does it make sense? Yeah, good, yeah. So, 2 minutes.
Are you talking about being closer to God?
Yeah, closer to God. No, that sort of closeness to God that makes you feel better, not just generally. Like chocolate biscuits aren't one. Yeah, okay. Chocolate biscuits, whilst you're praying, could be. Would you describe feedback for us? Thank you, Pam.
Okay. As you can see, 2 minutes is a metaphor as well. It's not a real 2 minutes. Pam's going to write down any feedback people get for how they connect with Jesus, connect with the Lord in a way that makes them feel lifted, etc. Okay. Anything?
Music.
Okay. Any music, or particularly just spiritual music, or
Christian
music? Yeah. No. Okay. Anything?
Music as well. I like the old music.
So do you mean playing or singing? Just making it up. Okay. So composing.
That's a bit like praying in tongues.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you get in.
Well, it's more like praying, I think, isn't it? If you're composing, it's like praying, isn't it? Because you're things. Anything else?
Nature.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see who said that. Oh, yeah, I said nature.
We work for specifically the sea.
Specifically the sea. That was mountains for me. Yeah. Don't have to climb them, just have to look at them.
Any of nature. You're watching, or when you're watching the seasons change, I think any of the nature is very therapeutic.
Okay.
It really sends you peace and harmony.
Anything else?
For me, the nature is one thing, but actually the key to it is solitude.
And I often find that when I go jogging, a sense of being just me alone.
So solitude. I'm interested in that. That's
space.
Solitude, space. Anything else?
Science. Silence.
Oh, silence, which is science. I was agreeing wholeheartedly with science, because science comes down to like nature and wonder and like the bigness of God and like how that happens, don't you? Sorry. Silence.
Really horrible near the sea. Things like nice architecture, but not necessarily old stuff.
Aesthetics.
Yes. That's a good word.
Oh, look, no hesitation.
I also wanted to throw in, for me, reading the Bible.
Yeah, I think the Bible's... One of the things that's interesting, being away with Doris, is that you have family prayers every evening. And Bible study, that was a bit of a shock to the system on holiday, I'm telling you, but brilliant, sort of thing. So, yeah, so the Bible.
I'm going to go completely wacko and actually say people and understanding how people tick and just seeing. Because I know in our counselling we've understood a lot more about how the brain works, and then that bit about how wonderful God is and how intricate we are and fearfully and wonderfully made. It kind of blows your mind to think about it. So I think actually just sort of being, for me, being with people and understanding is the one with connecting with God as well.
Can I
throw in another one?
Go on then.
Mathematics.
I knew I was going to say mathematics. An elegant equation. I know people connect through mathematics. They're weird.
Camping.
That's out. Nature and the outside. Camping. I'm gonna chip in here just because I find being of service to somebody actually quite fulfilling, make close to God. I once a fortnight I do Avery, and I'm on the garden gate, which is just like, hello. You go through the gate over there, and you go through the gate over there, and then you get to the door. And on Friday, this lady was coming out. There was nobody else around, and she was talking about her camera and taking photographs, etc. And I got onto the fact that her son of 19 had died suddenly, of sudden death syndrome, something like that. Yeah. And it was sudden death syndrome day on Friday or something as well, sort of thing. And I spent about 20 minutes talking to this woman. And I didn't pray for her. I did talk about support structures and things like that, etc. But I felt close to God because I was trying to be Jesus in that situation to her sort of thing. So I think there's that with the people. I think there's also the sort of that serving.
Listening, serving.
Yeah, I think that will go together. Anybody got any others?
Yes, I think.
Yes.
My prayer group, which my children call gossip group, because we share our problems with each other, and by doing that and praying about them, that makes everybody feel good.
Okay, so prayer group. So all of those are things about places where, thanks Pam, after that, where they won't be the same for everybody because God didn't make us the same. He made us different. He made us with different personalities and different people and different things that we appreciate, and different ways of connecting with him. So there's going to be different things on there for different people. But they are all playthings where we have to, in a sense, make an effort to make that connection. We have to make an effort to find that place of refreshing, to find that place where we are close enough for God to say, actually, you've done that, I now want you to do this. That place where we can get refreshed by the Holy Spirit. Now, that makes it sound as if to benefit from the Holy Spirit, we have to put effort in. I think we have to put effort in to listen. But the third bit of that verse says, the autumn rains also cover it with pools. The Holy Spirit is always flowing. She is always available. Yeah, I think there are situations where in the run of life we have to make places of refreshing. We have to recognise where are the things and the activities and the places we need to go where we can connect with God. But wherever we are, God's grace, God's Spirit is still flowing down the whole time. And the picture I had was of cane locks. Does everybody know what cane locks are? Mm-hmm. If you don't know, it's a flight of 22 locks and devices. 20-something locks and devices. Now, this is the canal, right? And it's going that way. Right, towards Bradford-on-Avon. Water flows downhill, right? Even I know that in terms of physics. So this is the canal and the water is flowing down it. But there are 20-odd locks in cane locks. Sorry, my alarm. Stop. No, it's not, actually. There's 21 locks, okay? Now, barges go up and down, and it takes them hours. Sorry?
Narrow
boats and canoes go up and down the canal, okay? And it takes, apparently it takes most of the day. But, so that I think is like the autumn rain. That's the Holy Spirit. It's flowing. There's water going downhill. It's always going downhill, etc. And we are like the narrow boats in the canals. We can only come down and we can only go up cane lock because off to the side, there are these storage lakes. I don't know how many of them there are. I wanted to get an overhead picture, but I couldn't find one. But there's these storage lakes and they are like the springs. They refresh the canal with water to enable the barges to do their journey going up and down the locks. And that's how I saw, when I said we're going back to the picture that I saw when I read this verse, that's what it's like. The Holy Spirit's the canal. It's always there. It's always flowing. It's always available. But there are times when we have to make the effort to go to our spring of refreshing to help us to get through those hard times, that valley of Baca. There's nothing wrong with the dirt tracks and the difficulties that we find in our Valley of Baca, right? There is no experience that doesn't help us to grow. There is no experience that God hasn't allowed to happen. Yes, we have to make the effort to go and get the refreshing, and we have to go through it. There's a series of books written by Susan Howitch that go over a period of time about... she's not a theologian as such, But there's I got a quote from somebody else from one of these books, which I just thought really sums up how Jesus looks at what happens to us in our life. And in it, there's a sculptor talking. And she says, "Everything has meaning. I revise, reshape, recast all that is going wrong, so that in the end, nothing is wasted and nothing is without significance and nothing ceases to be precious to me." And I thought it was a really good way of looking at our life's journeys. Very easy to say, this is where I've started and that's where I'm going and I'm over here and it's all gone wrong. Yeah. And I think we have to get away from that and say, it's not gone wrong. It may not have gone in the direction we wanted it to, but as long as we give those situations back to the Lord, he will revise, reshape, recast, so that nothing in our experience is wasted and nothing that's happened to us is without significance, and none of it will cease to be precious to him. So I think that's how the Lord looks at our journeys, yeah? So all times we've got to look at that sort of journey. We are going to go through hardship. Now, sometimes things going along swimmingly, yeah? But none of you put your hand up when I said everything had a perfect life and there's never been anything, and there will be. And you may be in a really good time. You know, you're in a really time of refreshing and you feel great and everything's going well, etc. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is for when it's not like that. Need to be thinking about, what are those things where I can go to get my refreshment? What are the things where I can tap into, get that extra from what the Lord's given me? It's that time when you feel that you've gone down a dirt track and say, well, Lord, what are you saying in this? Do I need to carry on and refocus, or do I need to actually pull back and come back onto this sort of the original path? It's about those sorts of times. So I hope I've got you to think about things that may help you find places to refresh him. And just to know that whenever you're facing your personal valley of Baca, there are things that you can do about it. Thank you.